and say this is the WILO and Clinton County Chamber of Commerce, Leading with Hope and Vision. Dr. Tharp, what's the latest this morning? Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be able to call in for you today. Yeah, I think the big news today would be that the FDA has asked us to put the Johnson & Johnson vaccine on pause briefly while they reevaluate things. And so that's got to be probably the number one thing this morning. The vaccine is being investigated for blood clotting problems, and so we're all kind of waiting to see what they have to say about that. Very late breaking news, I think.
Yeah, and what about is there anyone who, maybe in the area who's already got that that vaccine? What should they know about or think about anything?
Well, first of all, it's extremely rare. We've mm-hmm. given over 6 million doses, and we've had six people identified with this problem. So far, it has been only in ladies. And in fact, it's only been in women who are still young enough to be not going through the change in life. So it's premenopausal women, they, you know, we do understand the mechanism a little bit. Hopefully they're going to decide. But there's only been six identified, and so that's one in a million chance.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly higher, perhaps, than the Hoosier Lottery mega bucks lottery, but it is certainly something to consider. The other thing is that it has occurred only in the first 10 days after the vaccine. Once you get beyond that point, we haven't seen any issues. Anybody who had the vaccine earlier is beyond that time.
I saw where Indiana's closing in on 1.5 million fully vaccinated people. Where does that put Indiana on the hopes of herd immunity? I'd heard that maybe Texas would be reaching herd immunity this week.
Well, you know, there's a lot of discussion about where one reaches that herd immunity point. So you have to count both vaccines as well as cases as you're making that calculation. And we have over 6 million people in Indiana. So when you compare the number of vaccine doses to the people, we have about 20 to 25% vaccinated. It probably takes at least 70 to 75% to be considered in that herd immunity kind of situation. So we're pretty far away from that. I think the vaccine is clearly a much faster way to protect yourself, and we would encourage you to be doing that.
Anything else we need to know, Dr. Tharp, here on a local level, other than continue on with doing the right thing? I know we see other states around us, like Michigan and Illinois. You know, we hear bad things about wanting to shut them back down and stuff with more surges in those states.
Yes, and that is concerning. Here in Indiana, we're still doing relatively well. We've seen a slight rise in cases, but we're still in the yellow designation. We've converted our testing to a drive-up situation at the fairgrounds, and so people can stay in their cars and get tested. And that allows us to open up the building to a larger population of people to come in to get the vaccine. So our vaccine clinic is open. And we are doing Moderna vaccines, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
What we are seeing is that as things have opened up a little bit, we think that a number of people are being able to get into a clinic at a more convenient time. So we're seeing an increase in the number of people who are not showing up for their appointments. And so we'd like people to be careful to cancel an appointment if you are able to change what you're doing. In that way, we can have a better idea of how much vaccine we'll have available. But certainly, as we're getting better at all of this, it's giving us a much better chance to get everyone in our county vaccinated who desires to have it. And that is our number one goal at this point.
Dr. Tharp, we always appreciate your expertise and time. Call us anytime, all right?
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Dr. Steve Tharp on the WILO, Clinton County Chamber of Commerce, leading with hope and vision. And we're going to continue the hope and vision here on Party Line with Adam Shanks with the Purdue Extension Office. Hey, Adam.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good this morning. We just talked to Dr. Tharp, and he's saying, you know, let's be careful about things, but let's still live our lives. What's the latest on the Purdue Extension Office as we're in the middle here somewhere of virtual and reality?
Right. Yeah, we're actually moving forward here, and we've had a lot of meetings in person. So the younger group, the Clover Buds and the mini 4-H'ers, had a meeting Saturday, and that went well. And we're having club meetings, and we had a tractor meeting last night, and we've got another one. So, you know, we're practicing social distancing and face masks when we can't be 6 feet apart. But, hey, we're getting back together. So that's been good.
It seems like everything is pointed in the right direction, too, for a good 4-H fair this year, too.
Seems like it, yeah. We're still moving forward. We've got people getting enrolled and getting their projects ready, and I think we're going to have a good fair. It looks like everything as far as the spring planting and getting crops ready for ready to go in the ground here is moving along. You know, looking at the Purdue Ag Barometer last month was pretty high, the highest it's been in several months. So that means farmers are feeling good and feeling positive about the way things are going and making some investments in equipment and land and feeling really good about how the overall farm economy is right now, too. So it's a pretty good time overall.
That was my next question is about we are in the prime pre-farming season, and like you said, getting ready to get some things in the ground. It's just been a couple weeks. I saw my first tractor and people out and about. So people are certainly out and about. The farmers are getting everything ready to go. And it was even one day last week, Ken and I were talking, we saw a farmer actually putting some stuff in the ground.
Yep, last week was actually really nice. The soil conditions were dry. You know, the temperature was right. So there was a lot of nitrogen put on, which is our corn crop's biggest nutrient demand is nitrogen. So getting that put on now while you've got some time ahead of planting was really good. A little bit of tillage work going on. It was a great week last week. Really thankful for the around an inch of rain we had over the weekend. It came real nice and steady. So it's soaking in instead of running off or ponding. And, man, by now when it dries off, it'll be go time. So we're really thankful for the way this has played out this weekend so far.
Yeah, it was a nice soaking rain, too. Like you said, it wasn't a downpour where it was bouncing off everything. So, yeah, that was pretty nice. And we certainly needed it, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's dry down low. A lot of our tile outlets aren't carrying much water out, and so the subsoil's definitely dry, so this good soaking rain helps build that base back up for moisture, and we definitely need our April showers to bring May flowers.
That's
so we
right.
don't want 3 inches in 2 hours, you know.
Right.
To move everything, so Yep, that was a good thing. I don't know if I'll talk to you again or not before, but we do want the listeners to be on the lookout for the 17-year cicadas that are coming out.
Yeah,
this year
should be soon, right?
Yeah. So the soil temperature has to be 64 degrees, and right now my weather station out at Clinton Prairies, we're around 51 to 52. So we've got a bit of climbing. But if it warms up here the end of April to early May, they may go ahead and start to poke out. So that'll be a pretty big change in our sounds and our sights around the woods this year.
You know, somebody was asking me about that last week, and they said, "Well, didn't we have cicadas last year and the year before and the year before?" And I think the answer is yes. They're here every year. It's just every 17 years they're much more prevalent. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's different broods of them. So this is brood X, and it comes out every 17 years, and it'll be a bigger flush of them. They'll be more prevalent. And what you'll see is this summer you'll start to see they only feed on deciduous trees. So like your ferns and your firs, your evergreens, they won't mess with the deciduous bushes and trees is where they'll actually lay their eggs. And the way they do that, they pierce the bark on the tree and insert their egg into that live material.
Mm.
So we'll see some kind of deadening back of trees this summer, but it's nothing to be worried about. It's natural. It's just kind of a natural pruning of your trees, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We will see that, and then they lay their eggs, and the whole process starts over again. You'll see a lot more this year. They say don't your pets will want to mess with them. If they consume too many, they might get an upset tummy, but otherwise they're not any big deal. But, you know, like our geese and our ducks, and we'll see a lot fatter of that type of waterfowl that are gorging on them. So.
All right. They'll get a little extra goodies then, a little snack.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, it's going to be an interesting time to monitor this year because, it's supposedly going to be a bigger flush than we've seen, since the last 17-year brood came out.
So is there any kind of recipe that we could fix cicadas? Is it something we could put on our barbecue this summer?
Well, I'm sure there are. If you jump on the search engine there, I bet you can find something. I haven't personally explored that, but I'm sure there are. Yeah. Free protein source around, you know.
Yeah,
I can actually add a little insight to this for you because there was a guy when I used to work at an AM radio station in Bloomington. He hosted like a hunting and fishing show, and he found out, this is mid-2000s, that there was a recipe for cicada scampi. So he did it on the stovetop, and he made 20 of these things, and he said they were really good until the anaphylactic shock kicked in.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was allergic to seafood, and apparently it functions. So he hits number 16, he blows up like a puffer fish.
Wow.
And has now been inclined to not ever do it again.
They've got the same kind of chemicals as shrimp or shellfish do.
Yeah, right.
If you've got a shellfish allergy, you should probably avoid eating them.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you know how that turns out, Adam.
I'm sure you will.
We'll come and sample them.
All right, sounds good. Yeah. Hey, we appreciate your time as always, Adam. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You bet, guys. Hey, just all the farmers are out there on the road here. Be safe. Share the road. Make sure everybody gets home safe at night. That's all we can ask. So,
all right, Adam Shanks with the Purdue Extension Office. Always appreciate his time.